Today's show is brought to you by Bogart Extractors, an industry leader in hydrocarbon extraction. Over the last decade, Bogart has implemented many new technologies which have helped to revolutionize the way hydrocarbon extractions are performed. Each unit is made with sanitary stainless steel and is built and tested right here in the USA. Their certified system for use in licensed facility meet all NFPA and ASME standards and undergo peer reviewed by third-party engineers to ensure facilities and its employees can operate safely. Beyond simply making a functional extractor, Bogart has many additional features which make extraction faster and more cost-effective compared to other manufacturers. These features include hydrocarbon failing films to supercharge evaporation rates, heavy-duty explosion-proof pumps for flammable liquids and vapors, industrial chillers capable of maintaining large tanks of solvent at temperatures below 60 Celsius. They also offer extensive tech support and consultation services. So whether you need to set up an extraction lab from scratch or you just need some replacement gaskets, give them a call at 855-553-3887 or check out their website at www.bogart.com.
Welcome to The Hemp Show, the show that gives you access to the world of wholesale hemp, from raw materials to finished goods and everything in between. I'm your host, Mark Restelli. Hello and welcome to the July 13th Hemp Show powered by CanTrade. My name is Mark Restelli. I'm the CEO of CanTrade and the host of the Hemp Show. All right, next up, we have Greg Clements with Pure Sterling Hemp. With a lifetime of farming experience, Greg is the CEO and grower of at Pure Sterling Hemp. He has a background in military, aviation, and is a retired ship captain. He grew up on a farm in Kentucky and is now farming at Woodpecker Farm in Virginia, an original Washington Cousins plantation that grew hemp. Thank you for joining us today, Greg, and welcome to the Hemp Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Excellent. So let's start off talking about the farm. You know, you're currently growing on a former Washington Cousins plantation that once grew hemp. And I don't know if you were listening to the last conversation about how this country was partially built on growing hemp.
I'm aware of that. Yeah, we're right there. And that was an easy sale to my in-laws when we decided 2 years ago when it became legal to grow hemp again in Virginia. That was my sales point to get it back in. Some of the settlers in that area, as you well know, grew hemp for sales and netting. And the Washington family was the big producer there. And that's my wife's family. And we're still on that farm that goes back to 1694. And we grew those products. And now we're growing them again and having great success with it.
Excellent. Well, so there's a long heritage there, which is very
Cool. There is.
Now, as far as what you're growing, you know, how much land are you growing? What type of products? What type of hemp are you growing? You know, are you growing it for flower? Are you growing it specifically for different products? You know, go ahead and tell us about that.
Biomass, basically flower as an interest. We have a 400-acre farm there that was originally 2,000 acres back, and as we sold off property to keep it in the family. But we also have a co-op that we formed there. And when I first got introduced to this business, I was at a trade show. I found somebody that was extracting up in that area, and I decided that I had a market for my hemp oil, and I knew that was important to do. But in the current market, he was not able to make it. You know, that's been a tough market over the last year for sure. And we were able not only to grow our own hemp, but we were able to buy up crops around us that were in that co-op. And so currently we have probably about 30 to 40,000 pounds in our barns. And we've got contracts for most of that already. And we're holding on to another 30 in our reserves, hoping for the market to come back a little bit. But so we really concentrated on being the best grower we could be. We had the equipment, we had the tractors, we had the land. So the investment was not that great for us to get into it. We went from hay to growing hemp. And now Virginia, as you may know, is recreationally gone legal on the 1st of July. So we're working with those genetics right now. And so we formed a team. I like to call it a co-op because my family started a lot of these farm co-ops back in the old days where mm-hmm. farmers group together, as you well know, it's done in this industry too. And we share equipment, we share ideas, and we're right in the middle of it. In fact, the guys are out in the fields today. I'm down in Florida enjoying my winter home, trying to get out of the heat in Virginia. It's hotter in Virginia than it is in Florida right now.
I was going
to
say, it's not hot there. I mean,
87 degrees, beautiful. You ought to come. Y'all come. And Virginia is about 95 to 100 right now. Brutal, you know, and you have to be there with the plants. So you have to really love what you're doing to be out there. So I had a couple guys out today replacing a couple plants as the males come along and stuff like that. We have to be out there with it, you know. We know these plants, you know, we have known by their names. We have to really know them. It's exciting. And I got into it because of a lower arthritic back pain. So I came to it from being a heavy lifter, you know, being a farm boy, the back eventually goes, you know, and I got into it. All of a sudden here I am at 72 and I'm in the fields and I'm an amateur ballroom dancer. I wouldn't be able to do this kind of stuff without this product. So it was easy sale for me to get into it. We do have other products. We are producing products. We're trying to be vertical. We sell our CBD from our biomass that we extract to one of the medical marijuana companies in our area, and they infuse it into their products. So it's been pretty exciting. We're still growing. We're still learning. And that's basically it right now. You know,
cool. Well, the industry has a lot to grow and every one of us has a ton to learn. I swear every single conversation I'm learning something new. So when you got in the industry, when you started using CBD for your back pain, was that prior to starting the grow operation, right?
Yes. Okay. I had my brother-in-law, the resident hippie on the farm, he said we ought to be growing him, you know, and I kind of poo-pooed it and I go, no, we're not going to do it, you know. And he was right, of course. And I started taking the product based on that conversation because he is a pretty smart guy. And I thought, okay, let's try this, you know. And immediately it worked for me. Gave me a kind, I say for people in my age group, it's great. You know, in the baby boomer market, mm-hmm. it really takes away. And person after person, just like the lady, I forget who was saying that. Christine was saying, people come back to me and they thank me for getting off their opiates. It really works, Greg. I can't believe this. I thought it was quackery, but this is really that came from a pharmacist. Okay. One after another reinforces my belief. And I got into it for the CBD part of it, not the Delta 8 or the recreational part of it. But I have, you know, we're producing the vapes now. We are moving. We have to move with the markets. We're trying to be vertical in our growth. We're not just growing it. We're trying to produce products. We have a dancer line for the ballroom dancers.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So we have influencers in that line that people that are world champions that are pushing. They're probably at a show this week right now. So they can use it. We have another line where we extract the THC from it for truck drivers, pilots. I'm a pilot. We can't have these things, the police officers. And if they believe in us enough, they'll use these products, you know, and benefit from them. So we're looking for our little niches, you know.
The O'Cannabis Conference and Expo returns to Toronto June 1st through the 3rd, and there are still good booth locations available. This exciting event is free for cannabis retailers and will feature Tommy Chung receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award at the O'Cannabis Industry Awards. For more information about exhibiting or to register to attend, go to ocannabis.com. That's OCANNABIZ.com.
Totally. So as you were talking about everything right there, a few things just popped into my head. One of which is a fact that nobody knows about me. My brother once owned a hay company. So I've bucked a lot of hay in my
day.
So, you know,
Yeah, you look like you're strong enough to do that. Yeah.
Unloading. So in one note for anybody who's never bucked, hey, do not wear a short sleeve shirt because that will destroy you.
And inhale all that hay dust too, you know, so you got any kind of allergies, forget it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And then I did actually once start do some ballroom dancing stuff for my wedding. So learned a tango cha-cha hybrid and did some cool stuff with my wife. So it's just very cool. It seems like you are a jack of all trades, considering military.
It's ADD or something. I don't know what it is. You know, I know.
Right. Kind of, well, but let's see here. Military, ship captain, veteran, you know, and then ballroom dancer adding to the mix.
Exciting life. Yeah, I've had one.
I got to say, there's not too often when you have all of those things mixed together into one.
Yeah, and I'm still alive. So there you go.
Well, because you're active and you're around, staying young. Getting back to the business and the products, you mentioned you're growing for biomass, right? Right. And you have, I think you said about 400,000 pounds in the warehouse.
No, I wish I kind of wish I did right now, because the market's firming up for us. We have about 40,000 total pounds, maybe a little bit more, because I haven't weighed at all, you know, so I don't know exactly what I got, maybe 50,000 pounds of it right now.
Okay. Yeah. I accidentally added an extra zero on there. So that's being extracted. Do you also have the extraction facility, or are you currently working with extractors?
We had the extraction. I got into it, the guy, when the prices started to fall out on the distillates and stuff like that, and the market fell last year a little bit for us. I don't know how it affected the rest of the country. This guy couldn't sustain himself. So the equipment that he had that in place that he was extracting for us shut down. But we've since made another deal with another company. And in Virginia, when we sell to these pharmaceutical companies for our CBD, which is one of our big sales right now to the medical marijuana industry, we sell the CBD part, because they're genetics THC. And so they really kind of don't have very much CBD in there. And so they buy, we can produce it a lot cheaper too for them. They're getting, you know, a couple $1,000 a pound for their recreational drugs. Mm-hmm. We're not getting anywhere, you know what the market is right now.
Right.
So, right down, especially on the biomass. And I don't even know what the market is for biomass right now. We're kind of guessing at it. We have contracts that we've sold off, but we're waiting for the market to come up a little bit further.
Right. Well, if you wait, obviously you wait too long into the year when it starts to get for October and, you know, that time around harvest. Yeah.
Well, that's why we're talking right now. If there's anybody out there just looking for something, a really good product, we have it in different forms and different levels. Well, we have it right now, and we're not going to have it for much longer. And a lot of guys are not growing right now because they didn't get the money they wanted for it. So there will be some more, a lot of product coming back on the market this year. But we have some really, really nice buds. A lot of it's greenhouse grown. Some of it was supposed to go to the flower market. We were brokers, so we were able to buy it at 10 cents on the dollar when our market collapsed in Virginia. But as we see right now, is coming back strong, and I can resell all my bio right now. I'm just kind of waiting to see if I can get another dollar out of it or two. And my, it's a commodity to me. It's like corn and soybean. We store it when the markets are down. We sell it when the market is high.
One of the things that's different, you know, about you is that, okay, so 2018 Farm Bill passes, tons of farmers want to get in the space. Many farmers don't know what they're doing, but you coming from growing hay, you know, that's commodity product, right? So is the process in growing bulk, you know, hemp on large acreage, is that very similar to the process?
We're in the process of developing those techniques. You know, they've had them in the past. We know kind of what it is to do it, but we're trying to make it work for us. To answer your question directly, hay is different than hemp. Hemp takes a lot more attention and has more handwork in it. We're trying to eliminate as much handwork to keep the prices down, mostly equipment. And that takes not only in the way you plant it, what you roll with, everything has something to do with that and how you then take care of it. Or we've tried broadcasting it straightly over the property, you know, on the ground. Just mass seed it, and we try drilling in with corn drills. We start some of our plants in the greenhouse, which is very effective, and then bring them to the fields, hand plant them. But we're trying different techniques because nobody really can teach us. You know, we've learned a lot from people around us, but we really are out there learning on our own, and we're getting better at it, and we can keep our prices competitive.
Right. And let's be real. But prior to 2018, there wasn't really any hemp growing in the U.S. So
yes,
it's, uh, it's a process that it's only been 2 years and the industry has already learned a ton, but they still have a long
way
to go. Eventually we will, or someone like yourself, not myself, someone like yourself will figure out what the best and most efficient way is to go ahead and grow that hemp with some just good old trial and error, right?
Yeah. Hard work, really hard work. I've got some really good guys out there younger than me and out there in the fields today. And, so yeah, we're going to figure out, and they've studied this all their lives too. They're not young guys. Okay. I mean, but they've been farmers all their lives. So, and they're interested in the crop. So for some reason they're out there when they've got a 1,000-acre farm over here, over on my little plat today, and those fields by hand today, one of the guys is farming which is a pretty good sized farm, 1,000 acres, is over on my place today out with the plants, hand planting them. Okay. And those guys are hard to get off the tractors. So he really loves what he's doing, and we will figure it out. If we need to take that whole 1,000 acres and put it into hemp in the future, and the numbers are right, we'll do it. You know,
but
right now we're learning how to scale.
Yeah. Right. And that other 1,000 acres is still hay.
That is corn and soybean right now. Which is very profitable right now. Okay. Corn and soybean was down and just almost where the guys couldn't make any money. And all of a sudden they wait, they store. Now they're making money again, at least. That's what I'm hearing from my relatives.
Now, question for you here. It's been a long time since I've known about the corn and soybean and the market and how that stuff works. I got a degree in agricultural business, but that was 15-ish years ago. Because when you talk about corn and soybeans, you can get crop insurance, you can sell in futures contracts, things along those lines. Have you seen a corollary with that and had any issues related to securing some sort of, crop insurance for your hemp, or doing things like future sales?
It's coming. There's people working on that. I have not got into that yet. We're just really in our second year. And so this last year was a real learning curve for us. We spent a lot of money trying to figure it out and to get a few thousand pounds in the barn. You wouldn't have made any money last year the way we approached it. This year is a whole different story. And I was able to, commodity market, it's developing. There are people that are trying to do that. It is a commodity. It will be handled as a commodity, I believe. But I haven't really gone too much, been taking it easy. One crop at a time, learn what I can. I'm not in a big hurry. We had all the equipment. I mean, we didn't have a big investment. We were able to buy a lot of these crops up that the guys didn't make a market. They didn't know where the markets were. So we had to learn how to properly store it. What's the best way to do it? What's the cheapest way to store it? Mm-hmm. How long can you store it before it loses its everything? So I know a lot of guys already know this, but I didn't. I'm learning it my own way. And we'll keep my barns very aerated, keep the flow of air going through them, keep them dry, like we do hay.
Right.
And it doesn't mold or get down.
I've heard, and we've had on this show many horror stories. So it sounds to me like the way you've approached it is the correct way. Take it a bit slower. Don't do anything crazy. Just start figuring everything out and learning as you go.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And we are making money. We turned a profit. And what we thought we were going to turn, but we did turn a profit. Okay. And now we've got to go from here, and we're in the middle of our second year. That's it. And
we hope to see here. We hope to see here for a long time. This was great conversation. So if you'd like to go ahead and connect with Greg and Pure Sterling Hemp, please add them to your network on CanTrade. You can also place orders and ask questions directly from the Pure Sterling Hemp store, posted in the webinar chat, also in the CanTrade feed and in the podcast and YouTube show notes. Once again, thank you for joining us today, Greg.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure. Nice meeting you.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. That wraps up the July Hemp Show. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be back in October. And we've got some, we're not going to not have content getting pushed out because we have a large backlog of not only previous hemp shows, but also of our hemp show deep dives. That's what you can expect for the next several months while we are off. We've got some extremely interesting deep dive conversations, some of which that took several hours, up to even 3 hours, to dive in and cover these topics, because we have so many interesting people on this show that 15 minutes is typically not enough. So I'm excited to get those out there. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you haven't already, please be sure to sign up and register for CanTrade, where your business can trade easy. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hi, it's Justin Benton, host of the Miracle Plant Podcast, where we discuss this miracle plant that goes by so many names and how it's helping people in so many extraordinary ways. So if you love this plant and you want to hear a story that tugs on those heartstrings and learn more about this plant, then head on over to the Miracle Plant Podcast. You'll be glad you did.